It doesn't work like that. Actually, we live in his presence 24/7. Didn't the scripture say, in him we live, move, have our being? There's no separation here. There's no separation here. So prayer is a continuous communion with the Spirit of God. It's not just in closet. It's not just a church thing. It's what you live in. It's what I live in. The scripture says, pray without what? Season. And the word season was used when Paul says, I cease not to pray for you. He's not talking about that. What he says is a continuous thing. And the Bible says the church made prayer for Peter without season. So the word season is continuous. It's a continuous thing. It's not a truncated religious thing that you do in compartments. Yeah, you can have your quiet times. You can have time. You say you want to seek who? Want to seek? I didn't hear you. Want to seek? I didn't hear you. Want to seek? You want to seek the Lord? You are not talking. You want to seek the Lord, right? You want to seek the Lord, right? Is he lost? Is the Lord lost? Is he not the one that came to seek you and found you? Now you say you are seeking him. Is he lost? Because they told them in the Old Testament, you shall seek me and find me. In the New Testament, he came seeking you and found you. And said, I will never leave you. And now you are seeking him. Is he lost? These are the things that make us think, God is not there. Let me go find him. Let me go look for him. He's an ever-present God. Emmanuel. Present. Church, can I hear amen? So the church began to have fellowship with him and understood these things. And so in prayer they came. In this prayer they came, they weren't asking anything. Can you imagine fasting without asking anything? That would be very un-Nigerian. Because you can't fast with, you can't, it's un-Nigerian. Because fasting is because that's when people discover the importance of God. They won't come to Bible studies. They don't know anything. It's just too ignorant. And now tragedy comes. Then all of a sudden, God becomes very important. How can an ignorant man deal with a challenge? I talk with people. I sit there, I don't even know where to start. So far removed from the truth. So the church was having a prayer meeting. They were fasting and praying. They were asking nothing. Prayer is a communion. It mustn't be asking. That's what I was saying on Thursday. When people think prayer is asking, they limit themselves. Asking is there, but it's a communion. It's a fellowship thing. We are changed in his presence. In his presence, there is a fullness of what? Joy and pleasures forever. You miss out on the fullness of the joy it produces and the pleasures it produces. Because you think that only when you ask is when you pray. But prayer is a continuous communion with God. And so these people came to church. And let's go to their church and see what they were doing. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, as they what? To the Lord. And so they were fasting without asking nothing. All they did was hanging out with God. I mean, this is not mainstream Christian stuff. Because when they declare 40 days dry, it's when they think the world is collapsing. So they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Just hanging out with God. Actually, some translations say they were just worshiping God. I mean, think about it. That the whole church began to fast, asking them just to go and worship God, just hang out with God. Because they understand that it's communion. Everybody say communion. Come on, say it again, communion. They know what this is all about. It's about communion. Let me tell you something. If you learn to commune with God and not ask a lot, you get a lot. You get a lot. In fact, you get a lot. You get preemptive things before it happens. God has told you. Solved it, sorted it out for you. Told you what is coming. So as they were doing that, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. It says, verse 2. And the Holy Spirit says, separate me who? Barnabas and son for the work we are unto communion. Communion. They were just worshiping and God began to talk to them about his mind, his work, his this. So, you know, all this casual, praise the Lord, you say. Thank you, Jesus, you say. And all those things. Don't see them as a matter of tradition or culture. If you say them like that, it's worthless. Because traditions block the word of God. Makes it ineffective. Understand there's an abiding presence of God with you. When you say praise the Lord, let it be a sincere something from your heart to your father. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Oh. You know, you're talking to your father. Understanding that his presence will never leave you. Or what? Sick. Let it not be because that's Pentecostal jargon. What is jargon? Did I use the right word? What is jargon? You don't know, you say yes. Come on. Don't say mindless things. Mindless things profit you nothing. Singing, if you come to church, I keep saying it. If you come to church and you want to benefit from coming, don't come mindlessly. You see all this praise worship we do. Some people receive things, some people just empty. When they say, let's worship the Lord, focus on Jesus Christ now. As you are talking to him. In fact, I recommend closing your eyes. I recommend it highly to do what? Close your eyes. Cut out every distraction. Focus on the Lord. And see what happens. See what happens. You see, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let it be. Lord, it's you I'm talking to. Can I hear amen? You know, I told you I went to a wedding and they were singing the song. What song did I tell you it was? God plant my feet on what? I was enjoying the song. I thought I was worshiping. Because the music was good. Man, I was singing it and the Lord said to me, if you will tune down your emotions, you'll fellowship with me. He said, you don't connect me with emotions. I'm a spirit. I said, whoa. So, I tuned down my emotions. And then, he said, you connect me with your spirit, not your emotions. So I tuned down the thing. And I said, he said to me, focus on the Lord. Focus on him. You are talking to him. You are singing. You are worshiping. Focus on him. Don't focus on the music. So I focused. I closed my eyes. I began to worship. All of a sudden, I can't explain this. My spirit connected to God. I began to weep like a baby. In my spirit, I began to understand the warnings in that place. And he said to me, he said, do you not inspire those things? He said, you never knew the meaning all these years because you are simply enjoying music. So you are not worshiping me. Praise the Lord. The Bible said God seeks us to worship him in truth and what? Spirit. Truth is there. It's present. Truth. Spirit is with all your heart. So prayer is a privilege to enjoy this fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit working to help you and enjoying the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ because he's your advocate. I mean, he's your advocate. So you're really having fellowship with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Totally amazing. But we have two major issues that every Christian must learn how to handle. And I'm telling you in all sincerity, if you don't learn how to handle these things, they will wreck your faith badly. You won't go too far. You will see your prayers, you won't get answers. Your testimonies will be the ones of 10 years ago. If God is doing anything new, no. I'm telling you. And honestly, it will devastate your fellowship with God. Very, very seriously. You can be very religious, but your fellowship with God will be hampered. Will be hampered. And if it's hampered, you are in a very serious predicament. These two things, the devil uses it to terrible devastation. It's his most dangerous attack. These two things, the enemy uses it, that is his most dangerous attack on the Christian. But if he gets you there, you're done. You can't even rebuke him. You can't stand up and deal with him. If you're dealing with him, it's a washy-washy, fearful thing. You're saying, not sure what will happen. No. Then you go into ritualism. It will make you Samson. You know, the Lord told me one time, he said, the devil makes Christians Samson. So he makes them go round and round because their eyes have been, they don't have spiritual eyes. They don't see. So he gives them 40 days, 20 days. Pray against it's your neighbor. It's your this. All that. The Bible says my people are destroyed for any Christian that lacks revelation is walking in spiritual blindness. The devil will turn him into Samson. Make him labor a lot for nothing. A lot for nothing. I'm telling you. And that's why you see a lot of Christians trooping all over the place. Once they hear, it's like, this place, what are you looking for? The God that is ever present. When did he leave you? When did he forsake you? When did your covenant with him stop? Is he not the one that says, come to me, all you that what? And I will deny you. What did he say he would do? So these two things, they are naturally major issues that block fellowship and communion with God. They are fear and guilty conscience. They are number one what? I didn't hear you. Number one what? Number two what? Let's repeat them. Number one what? Fear. And number two what? Let's repeat them again. Come on. Number one what? Fear. And number two what? And the cause of them is natural. Very, very real and natural. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the importance of not having this evil conscience when it comes to coming to God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. In full what? Assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's how you draw near to God. You can't come with an evil conscience. It's not going to happen. Because evil conscience will produce unbelief and doubt. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you and what? I didn't hear you. And what? I didn't hear you. And what? Evil heart of what does it do to you? Departing from the, it takes you away from God. It doesn't build fellowship at all. It takes you away. It doesn't draw you to God. It doesn't. Evil conscience. And so what I'm going to do, because now the reality of the fact is we're not perfect. Yeah. I don't have to preach to you, you are not perfect. And you don't have to tell me I'm not perfect. We all know that. That's one thing everybody knows. And that's the reason why all this religion you see are trying to solve this problem. And because man knows he's not perfect, he lives in perpetual evil consciousness and fear. As we are seated in this church, you know you're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. So how are we going to solve this problem? Because you're not going to do everything God wants 24/7. Can we be honest? So what are we going to do? Because you're not going to. I'm not going to. And yet you're supposed to fellowship with the Holy God who is of a pure eye to behold iniquity. So man is perpetually in trouble looking for, how do I do this? Galatians 5:17. The sinful, Galatians 5:17. Can you put New Living Translation? The sinful nature wants to do what? Which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are how? Constantly fighting each other. What is the result? So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. No, how good your intention is, there's a battle going on. Yeah. That's what Paul was talking to the church. He said, creation was subjected to vanity against his will because sin came and caused it. He said, even we groan in this body waiting for him to come and give us the body he promised us. And until he gives us, we are groaning. So he presents a problem and the devil knows it and the devil says, hey, stop. You're into foolish. How about A? The Bible calls him the accuser. He will paralyze you with that. Because what he's telling you is true. That's why Christians, they go and confess today. Tomorrow morning, they do what? Confess again. If I met a sister in Lagos, he said, Pastor. Oh, Pastor. Hey, Pastor. He said, hey, Pastor. I said, what is the problem? He said, Pastor, if you know what I did, I said, what did you do? He said, 12 years ago, I said, my friend, get out. There are many people like that. They confess today. They want to pray tomorrow. The devil stands there and says, what, you? I said, Lord, yeah, they start crying again. Some people give themselves penance. Denial. Some of you sitting here do that. You want to flog yourself. You want to deny yourself food. Somebody said, I'm not getting out of bed. I said, sleep there till morning, till evening. Let's be real and treat with, let's deal with real situation here. And some others decide, think that if I'm good for the next four days, then God will now forget what I, a foolish thing. So this is the reality in which mankind lives, in which I live, in which you live. So how do we come without guilt? Tough. How do we come without fear? You see why we pray and not sure whether God, you rebuke sickness, you don't believe it will. This is the reason. That's not the reason. It's this thing. One time, I think in Lagos, the Lord told me that there's a brother that had juju in his house. I called him and said, go get it. I think he brought it and the church scattered. They ran. These were singing, people singing in church. I have a very big God, though. Then one small thing, the tithing something came into the church. They left their chair and ran. Remember, one time, my wife was visiting a Christian leader, top leader. And then a girl that seemed to have demonic spirit came. He told my wife to go and deal with it, ran into her bedroom, locked the door. He's a leader. What kind of people will these people lead? The reason is there's no confidence. There is no confidence, I'm telling you. And yet the Bible says, if you want to pray, you come with what? Confidence. But here we are. And we're supposed to, this is amazing. We're supposed to have a continuous communion, and yet I do a certain things in the midst of that. Have you ever said something, done some things to your wife, and then the way you do it is you sneak back and start behaving very well? And then, you know, I know why you're laughing. You start behaving, trying to walk your way back into favor. And you call her special honey. She's not answering you. You know that there's serious trouble. And then you run out and go and buy her something from Macy's. And then you say, ah, honey, I bought this. They say, keep it there. There is an issue on the ground. And that issue must be discussed. You know, brethren, if you want to really walk with God, God desires truth in the world, Pastor. Don't sweep things under the carpet. Be sincere with yourself. This is human broken nature. This is humanity I'm talking about. All of us deal with the flesh. All of us. Myself, yourself, all of us. We say things we regret. We do things we don't like. We tell lies. Hey, we tell lies. If you don't say yes, I'm coming down. Tell lies. We do. And constantly. You know, if they don't recognize you, you say, I've been serving in the church. They didn't recognize me. All manner of prideful stuff going on. All manner of prideful stuff. Anger. Are you kidding me? Quick anger. That is uncontrolled anger. And yet we are supposed to have continuous communion with the holy God. So these two giants stand, fear and guilty conscience. You may think you don't have it. I'm joking, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, if you want to deal with a situation, face that thing and deal with it. When I told myself that anger was ruining my life, that anger was what? Ruining my life. I called my wife. I said, this thing has to go. I said, I'm accountable to you. You now take charge of me. Tell me in my face. She's here. I said, I'm not. Look, if you want something to stop, don't joke with it. Face it face to face until you knock it off. And I went into this thing with scripture and everything. My wife would tell you. She would tell you. If I treated it with kids glove, nothing messed my life up like anger. That thing is terrible. It's demonic. It says you build an airport for Satan. He'll be landing at your anger all the time. All the time. All the time. And pride will blind you so much you won't even believe what you're doing. Message takes away your dignity, your testimony, everything goes through the window. People who deal with you will never take you serious because you can't control yourself. It's in the church now, and yet you are supposed to fellowship with the Holy God, and we have to. But the thing that solves this problem is God's love. God gave us this fellowship based on his love. And I want you to listen to me. His offers of love is unconditional and free, regardless of what you're doing. That fellowship God is offering you is unconditional and is free. Because Jesus already paid for it. So we need to, that's what I was saying on Thursday, we need to come and understand the word Abba, Father. Abba, Abba. Very interesting word, Abba. It's a relationship between a loving father and his child. It's not a relationship where you need to come in denial. It's not where you come and hide and say, I didn't do this. You don't have to hide. He knows it. It's not, you don't have to hide anything because you accept it. You are always what? You are not talking to me. You are always what? I don't hear you. You are always what? Don't let fear stop you. You are always what? The Bible says so in the book of Ephesians. You are accepted in the beloved. I didn't say, the Bible says so. If you are in Christ, you are always accepted. If God doesn't accept you, you are finished. Your hell is your portion. So this word Abba, want to dwell on it again. It's not coming to God to be in denial. It's not a stoic something. You know, stoic philosophy. Stoic philosophy is being in denial. People who can have pain and be in denial. The stoicism, that's what the Greeks were doing. It's not stoicism. It is being real. God desires truth, what? It's why you come and you don't hide in anything. You are fellowshipping with the purest love there is. That passes human understanding. That wants to help you out. Whose thought for you is the thought of good, never evil. Never evil. Never evil. You know, and so that Abba is not where you hide things out of fear. Oh, God knows you. No. There's no fear here. And it's not where you come and you want to whip up sentiment so that if you whip up sentiment, then God will say, see how he's crying. And Jeremiah, did you see how he's crying? Ah, come. Let's see what is wrong with him. The Bible says God knows you have need of these things before you even came. It's not where you whip up. You don't need to whip up any sentiment. God is not a human being. God is a spirit. If you understand me, say amen. Take out all those things. He said, let your request be made. Come, let's talk. Come, let's settle the matter. So the love of God is not why you're trying to make God glorify you. No. All you're doing is to go and enjoy his love for you. His mercy will never depart. His mercy. And it's of the Lord's mercy you will never be what? Consumed. You go there and say, Lord. When I go there, I say, Lord, you know, I'm not coming here. I'm not good. I say, Lord, I don't have any righteousness here. I said, if I say I have no sin, I deceive. I said, I don't want to deceive myself. You know me in and out. There's nothing to hide there. I said, I just come trusting in your mercy. I just come in the robe of righteousness you give. I know your word told me to come boldly. Lord, I believe your word. Can somebody shout hallelujah? And then you go on and on. Before long, your spirit begins to. Because with faith, you please God. Without faith, you don't please him. So when we know that God is your Abba Father, I want you to tell somebody, God is my Abba Father. Come on. Oh, you didn't convince them. Come on, convince them. Come on. And I told you last week that to call God Father in Israel was an abomination. That was why they killed Jesus. They said because he called God his father. You didn't do that. Nobody did that. It was a position reserved for people who are sons of God, family members. They think, who are you to be family with God? So the writer of John says, what manner of love, what? Is this that we shall be called sons of God? He's a Jew. And Jesus said to us, because you are sons. You now have the right to call God what? Abba, not just Father, but my dearly loving Father. Makes all the difference. All the difference. If you have children and they have grown, and sometimes your children shop from your wardrobe, they buy from your wardrobe. Women, your daughters buy from your wardrobe now. And then when they are buying from the wardrobe, when you see them, you smile. Is Abba? Why is he going to your wardrobe? Because he says, Mommy. She won't go to anybody's wardrobe. You see Mommy's shoe? Once it's her size, you will see her in church wearing it. Because it's love. It's love, man. It's love. She knows his mom. He knows his mom. He says, hey, this shoe then. So even this one too. Inside of you, you are happy. You are somehow secretly happy that she's grown and she's wearing yours. Then you go, hey, my daughter wears my shoe now. Yeah, you are celebrating it because of love. But somebody else wear your shoe. I won't say anything. Is anybody understanding me? God is our Abba Father. And God has always dealt with humanity based on his love. It has always been. Even Israel. Even Israel. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. Deuteronomy 4, verse 30. In the distant future, I'm reading New Living Translation. I will read all the way to 37. In the distant future, oh, Lord, I give you praise. Can we worship him again? Can we rise up, please? Come on, church, come on. Lift up your hands and worship him. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Call him Abba, Father, and worship him. Abba, Father, I worship you. My loving Father. You are the Lord. Let your name be glorified. You are the Lord. You are the Lord. Let your name be glorified. We give you glory. Oh, Lord, you are the Lord. Let your name be glorified. I want you to worship him, glorify him in your own way, and hold him and say, Abba, Father, my daddy, Abba, Father, I call you Abba, Father. I receive the spirit of sonship. I'm not a stranger to you. I'm not a stranger to you in spite of my imperfections. In spite of my imperfections, Lord, you gave me your love free of charge. You gave me your love without condition. You gave me freely. In Christ Jesus, you gave me your love free of charge. What an amazing love that I be called a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's be seated now. Deuteronomy 4:30. In the distant future, when you were suffering, God is giving them the summary of what he did for Israel and told them why. In the distant future, when you are suffering all these things, you will finally return to the Lord, your God, and listen to what he tells you. Continue. For the Lord, your God, is a what? Merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. Now search all of history, Israel, from the time God created people on the earth until now, and search from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything as great as this ever been seen or heard before? Has any nation ever heard the voice of God speaking from fire as you did and survived? Has any other God dared to take a nation for himself out of another nation by means of trials, miracles, signs, wonders, war, and strong hand, a powerful arm, and terrifying eyes. Yet, that is what the Lord your God did for you in Egypt, right before your eyes. He showed you these things so you will know that the Lord is God and there is no other. He let you hear his voice from heaven so he could instruct you. He let you see his great fire here on earth so he could speak to you from it. Because he loved your ancestors. He chose to bless their descendants simply because he loved them. And he personally brought you out of Egypt with a great display of power. And he gave the reason. Because he loved your ancestors. So I did all these things simply because of love. So the unconditional love of God helps us resolve the issue of evil conscience and heart of unbelief. Because the Bible tells us what the love of God does. It casts out fear. Because it's perfect love. It casts out what? Fear. Because it's perfect love, it does what? Casts out fear. In 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, I'm reading New Living Translation. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Verse 9. God showed how much he loved us. God showed how much he loved us. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Just like God said, I showed you, I spoke to you out of fire, I did all this to show you people that I'm God and that I love you. The Bible says that God showed us his love. He sent his only begotten son so that we have eternal life. And they know the coming of Jesus is the greatest miracle ever. That God himself came down and became sin so that the sinner become righteous. If this is not Bible, it's difficult to believe. But that's true. So that person who will have fearful heart not to go, can go to God. And so, what verse are we reading? Verse 9. So God showed us, the verse 10. This is real love. Real love is not the one for your friends only. God's real love is for enemies. You're not hearing me. Real love is for what? Jesus said anybody can love his friends. He said even the heathens do the same. If you bring me gifts all the time, you love me. It's too busy for me to give you gifts. Jesus said even the Republicans do. He said, what do you do different if that is all? He said, now let me tell you what the love of God is. Love your enemies and do good though. Because we were enemies of God in our heart. We didn't love him. We didn't want him. But he gave us his best. And let me tell you something. Nobody can do this except by the Spirit of Christ. It's impossible to love your enemy. Totally impossible. That's why Jesus said, when you begin to live in love, they will know you are now my what? Disciple. They will know I'm the one walking. You can't love without Christ. Impossible. Forget it. I don't care to someone you hear. That's why we go back and teach people. The just shall live by what? Faith. Because that's how it works. So now verse 10 said, this is real love. Not that we love God. Yeah, we didn't love God. But that he loved us anyway and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. But you know, we that are Christians, we want people who have done us wrong, we want them to be punished. We want pound of flesh. I don't want to go there. I really don't want to go there. Now verse 9. verse. Okay, yeah. Now, verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other now. So if the love of God loves, if we know the love of God, it should change us to love people. Give people a break for God's sake. The Bible said, why don't you allow yourself to be cheated? Some of the greatest blessings I've got from God is when people cheat me. Now, I'm not kidding. You should know the ways of God. You sow it into their life as seed. Come and see God multiply for you. You see wonders. They stole Elijah. They stole their boss one time in Newark. In Newark, yeah. So they came and told the boss they were using for business that they stole it. And they were all worked up. I said, why are you worked up? I said, I'll tweet the devil. Now it's easy. So use divine wisdom and I'll tweet him. They said, really? I said, yeah. I said, give it to them as gift. Sow it into their lives. So once you sow it, God will multiply for you. And if you sow it, the devil will return you quickly because he doesn't want God to multiply. I said, do it and see now. Try. Do it. And they did it. I said, once you sow it as seed, the devil will return you quickly. He doesn't want any Christian blessed. So he knows if you do that in faith and say, Lord, they stole it, but I bless them with it. I sow it as a seed into their lives. That seed will multiply. They did it the following day. Police called them. Come and carry your bus. My cousin, they stole his 3,000 euro in France. He called me from France. He was furious and angry. Furious and angry. And after a few, I said, my brother, I said, you're a baby Christian. He said, really? I said, you are not grown. Your emotions is controlling you. I said, I tweet the devil. I said, we're in a game of wits with the devil. It's the wise of Satan we're dealing with. I said, why don't you sow it as a seed? And God will multiply for you. It's simple. He said, really? I said, yeah. Forgive them. Do good to your enemies. Love them. Lord, I sow it as a seed. They mean it forever. I love them. I said, do it and go home. He did it and went back to Lagos. Months after, the same man called me. He said, I can't believe this. I said, what can't you believe? He said, one man came to my house, knocking at my door. I said, the Lord told me to bring you $15,000. And I said to the man, why should I take the money? He said, I can't sleep myself. He said, God won't let me sleep. He said, go and give him that money this night. 3,000 euro, $15,000. Check it out. Check it out. See, all these things we do, like I fight them for this one, it's worthless. Why don't you let God do the thing? And you see the wonders of God. If you allow God, you benefit. If you take over, you lose. Am I talking to you? In my land, they came to take in the village. They come and say, they take you. And I say, give them as much as they want. Don't bother me. I'm preaching the gospel. They say, come home. I say, for what? Land? Let them take. I ask them where they want, give them. They don't even come. Don't bother my life. If I tell you, the Lord called me and said, do you want me to fight for you or do you want to go and fight? I said, you fight. I said, then stay and do what I called you to do. The devil is distracting you with things you can't handle. By the time I got home, my uncle said, hey, he said, ma, I fought for you. He didn't fight anything. He said, those people came, they bought a bag of rice. They bought this. They came to beg me that they don't want to touch that land again. He said, because it's not that God killed them all. If that man died, another person died, they all ran. God didn't kill them, don't quote me. But they're old people. They're elderly people. I guess their time really, yeah, that's what happened at that time. It's not that God killed them, please don't quote me. No, it's not true. But I think because they were really very old. So I think the thing happened in sequence like that. The Bible says when a man's way pleases the Lord, he will make his enemies. So they bought rice, they come and beg me. Till today, nobody nears that land again. I don't even know why I'm talking like this. Is it benefiting somebody? Whatever you commit into the hand of the Lord is what God takes care of. If you take it from your hand, he will watch you mess it up. So what verse did we read last? 11, right? 11. Whoa, whoa. 11. So dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives what? In us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. The way God sees, people see God in us, it's not our jinjin Christian thing. It's not how many hours you pray. It's by the love of God. Because God is what? Say, he who does not love does not know God. He says, when the love of God has full expression in a Christian, people see God. People really see God because God wants to reveal himself to the world that he loves them. And God has given us his spirit, verse 13, as a proof that we live in him and he in us, 14. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 15. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. Let's read 16 together. We know how much God loves. Stop there. Let's read it again. We know how much God loves us. Then read the next one. And we have put our trust in his love. Not in ourselves. In his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The next verse. And as we live in God, now listen to this, church. See why anger won't leave you? Because you don't understand how it works. Look at how it works. As we live in God, as we live in the love of God, as we know that God loves us and we accept it and we live in that love, as we live in that love, our own love, what? Grows. It's not by 10 commandments. That's why God shut the 10 commandments down. So I was telling Pastor, I don't want to go there. And as we live in God, our love grows. Can I hear amen? Grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with what? Confidence. Somebody shout hallelujah. The next verse. Such love has no fear, not anything. Because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. This shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. You see what I'm saying? Fear. It's his love that drives us away. That if we come before God fearful, we're fearful with our confidence, is because we have not experienced his perfect love. Praise the Lord. Oh, my time is done. All right. The next time, I think we'll stop and continue. And next time, we're going to talk about how sin brings disrupts fellowship naturally, and how righteousness restores it, and how the blood of Jesus restores it, and how the high priestly ministry of Jesus restores it. That God gave us layers of things that will protect you and make sure you have confidence. Because God loves you, he craves our fellowship. Amen. I didn't hear you. Amen. I didn't hear you. Amen. There was a story I had at a convention. I'm not sure. I think my wife told me. I don't know whether it's a convention. Of a man who was a Christian and backslid. Backslid so badly. So badly. And he was somewhere and God called him by his first name. He said, hey, even God is still calling my name. He said, I love you. I still love you. And is that from you I heard the story? A young lady, can you tell us the story? I've forgotten the story. Can we have microphone, please? Have you forgotten the story? Oh, there's microphone there now. Because I want awesome supper tonight. So I'm paying for my supper here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It is in our convention center. You know, that's if you go to the website. I believe she was saying something about how she was a pastor's kid and she was doing so well. She was flourishing as a Christian, even as a young girl at school. And how at a point in her life, I think maybe the teenage or maybe the young adult age, maybe 17, 18 or thereabout, that they started making fun of her, you know, as a Christian. And then somehow the thing began to affect her. So she kind of got into the other kind of lifestyle that wasn't, you know, Christian, quote. And then at the point she gave up on herself, said that maybe she's not really fit to continue to be a Christian. So she kind of stopped fellowshipping and all that, and she backslided. But she said God will never have anything to do again with her. But she said the one revelation she had of God changed the whole equation. That she had a revelation whereby God showed up and called her by her name. And the love with which he called her, that when she came off from that revelation, she said, wow, so God still loved her so much that God even still calls her name. And her love for God again was restored. And she came back into fellowship and she's now flourishing. And in fact, she says she's getting married.
Oh, wow. So,
yes.
Praise the Lord. Does it illustrate what I'm telling you? Right? So the love of God is unconditional. And he says, my mercy will never depart from you. Let's go trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's believe the scriptures. And your fellowship with God is what will help you to change. As you're fellowshipping with him, he's teaching you, directing you, guiding you, and then bringing you to where he wants you to be. Can I hear amen? Now, before I stop, I want to plead with you. The women's retreat. When was that? Saturday. People have called me outside this country talking about that. People have listened to it and they told me, Pastor, that is amazing. Totally amazing. And then he told me, said, I want to congratulate the women. He said, that thing has been blessing me. So I've been listening to it over and over and over. So I want to recommend it to us that please avail yourself of these things. There's life in the air. And listen to these things, it will bless your life. Amen.